Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, my raps are filled with rage.
One of these days, we gotta bust back for the home, man.
You have to be logical. You know, if I know that in this hotel room they have food every day, and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see like them throwing salami all over the, I mean just like throwing food around, where they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day. I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, breaking out the door. And after years, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting. You know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry. You reached your level. You don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with civil rights movement. We was asking, you know. Now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. I'm full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
All right. Listen, I'm here talking a little bit more about poverty today, and I felt I was just going to take a break, get outside of the office, get outside of the studio, and talk for a little while. And it's a beautiful day out here. I'm so grateful to be able to be talking to everybody who is able to be here. So the question for today, and I know people are still coming on, but y'all know how I do. I don't wait 10 minutes. For people to come on before we start going. We come in, we start prompt at 12:30 every single second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 here at the PRF table. And we don't want to forget, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Kimberly Solis, who pours out from her heart every first and third Friday at 2 o'clock p.m. So listen, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about poverty. I think if you've been following me or been seeing some of the posts that's been on Facebook Live or Facebook just in general or on other avenues of social media, you've noticed that this theme of poverty just, it's not going away. It's still there. It's still among us. And so the question before us, the whole theme of today, we've been talking about poverty for the whole third quarter of this year. We're going to continue talking about it. I'm grateful. I'm going to have a special guest here on the PRF table meet us in on the fourth Tuesday of this month, and just so excited to have who we're going to have. So listen, how long will you put up? And I want you to think about this. How long will you put up with poverty in your church? How long will you put up with poverty in your community? That is the whole theme. That is exactly where I'm at today. I'm not moving away from it. I'm not being unapologetic or apologetic about it. I am unapologetic because there's evidently a problem. There's evidently a situation. There's some situations that's going on, whether it's in my community or your community, and there needs to be some methods or some ways to be able to deal with this in a constructive way. And so I'm grateful for all of you who are listening today, watching right now. I am on a college campus right now, and there are students all around. And so you may hear a little bit of noise, or not when I say distractions, because I'm glad that they're here. I'm glad that they're actually participating in higher education. So the question again is how long? How long will you put up with poverty in your church? How long will you put up with poverty in your community? Now, in order to be able to answer that question, you have to have some courage. You have to have some courage to be able to answer that question, because that question is not going to answer itself. Poverty is one of those things that just doesn't fix itself. It's one of those things that unless you're putting some specific effort into it, is not going to go away. So I wanted to talk a little bit about and just open up with, like, what's going on. What's going on in your community? What's going on around the country? I was thinking about just recently how there was a mass shooting, an act of domestic terrorism. I don't know, domestic international terrorism to me, an act of sin, an act of internal war within our borders, within our walls, within our country. And you may remember what happened over in El Paso, Texas. Many lives were destroyed. Many lives were cut short. Many legacies were disrupted. People had their individual households disrupted. Financial impact that happens when situations like that actually occurred. And then the next day, if you was in church, you may have heard me say this, but the next day what happened, you had a situation where in Dayton, Ohio, not Toledo, in Dayton, Ohio, another just tragic situation. People hanging out, enjoying themselves, and then somebody does the same exact thing, just comes and just does something that is just what we are seeing as a trend, but it should be the unthinkable. Then I think about a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was on a Wednesday that it occurred, but I thought about a couple of weeks ago how there was the Robert Mueller testifying. He was testifying before Congress. And how so there was so much buzz going on during that time frame to be able to see, did the president do this? Did the president not do this? Who was implicit? What did the report? All that talk was going on. And then I thought about the constant. For a moment, the constant was that there was pain in these situations. For a moment, there was a constant of division and divisiveness. For a moment, there was the constant that how are people's lives going to be affected after each one of those situations. There's others that we could talk about. But you know one of the number one constants that I've discovered is that after a tragic situation happens, something else happens. And so the constant is that situation doesn't last forever. The news does not cover that situation forever. The constant is, after that situation, here comes another situation. Where, think about it. Think about it just till I just said it. Listen, if you're in Dayton, if you're in El Paso, it's still fresh because you're in that community. But think about the rest of us. Think about the rest of us. Listen, folks ain't talking about Dayton, Ohio as they was last week. They're not talking about Walmart in El Paso, Texas, in that shooting as they were last week. They're surely not talking about the what happened with Robert Mueller and how he testified and what was brought up before Congress. Those things continue to get overshadowed by other things that occur. Then I started thinking again. I said, you know, but there is another constant, and there's this constant of poverty. There's a constant of poverty that's in the communities in which I serve, and I serve in various communities. There's a constant of poverty in so many of your churches because I'm talking to you. I'm dealing with individuals in churches. There's this constant of poverty that's within so many communities, even within my local community. But you know what's amazing? For whatever reason, the attention does not get put on the situations of poverty. And I can't fault the news media. And I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm not bringing any fault. But I do believe that there is a responsibility. There's going to be some accountability for the condition of the people. And so for those who have not been following us since we started this back in June, let me go back to something basic. Something really basic is, what is poverty? See, all those other situations, those are individual situations that I recalled for you a little bit earlier. They're individual situations that don't happen every day. But beloved, let me tell you, poverty is one of those things that happens every day. And if you go to what the definition of poverty is, I'll keep reading. It's the state of being extremely poor. Then another one says, it's the state of being inferior in quality or having an insufficient amount. And I'm going to tell you what struck me, because I'm going to keep going back to the definition, because definition gives us a baseline for understanding, a baseline for education. We can't all come with our own individual definition. There's one definition out there, and we take that as our foundation. We build upon that, and we frame the conversation based upon our experiences. But we have to always have something that we can go back to. So here's my first point, because you heard what I said. I'm going to read it again. A state of being extremely poor, a state of inferiority, being inferior in quality or an insufficient amount, meaning somebody doesn't have enough, and it's a state, it's a place of being. But here's what I want y'all to pick up on, and here's, if I had to give a point, here would be one of my first points. Poverty is not people. People live in poverty. Please catch that. Poverty is not people. People live in poverty. And so you have to, if something is speaking to you about poverty and the condition of people and the condition of God's people, you have to understand that poverty are not people. Poverty is not people. It is a state of being. It is a place where people are. And here's what you got to know. The truth of the matter is, so many people, I can just say so many people and Americans in this country, and Lord knows a whole bunch of freaking Christians, believers, Holy Ghost filled, are one situation away from poverty. You know what? That makes a difference when you really take that into consideration, and you're understanding that so many people are one situation away from poverty. So many people are one medical situation from poverty. So many people are one accident away from poverty. So many people are one paycheck away from poverty. Poverty is real, people. And so you have to understand. I told y'all I'm outside, so bear with the noise. But you have to understand that because there are so many people living in poverty, everybody who's living in poverty are not going to express that they're living in poverty. That's why, one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing, and why we're going to be asking folks to help in this effort with this initiative that I will name later, but we've already started working it out, is because if there's nobody there that's going to actually put forth the effort to help individuals in poverty, notice how I said it, and I'm intentional with my language, help individuals in poverty, then the question is, who's going to do it? And I have to, listen, if you go to the Bible, I know some of you and many of you who are watching this pay attention to the Word of God. But if you read the Bible, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verses 30 to 31. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength. Then he says specifically, love your neighbor as yourself. Hold on to that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then he goes on, the next sentence says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, here's the truth of the matter. I know a lot of times this whole notion of love is a difficult and it's a challenging one. This one is difficult for conversation because there are some people who don't really understand love. There's some people who don't know love. There's people who feel that they've never been loved, even though God has provided for them on a daily basis. That's the way people feel. Again, poverty is a state of being. But I just don't believe that if you love yourself, if you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you're out there constantly proclaiming the gospel especially, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm wondering as I say this, those who just don't all the time love themselves, they don't love themselves, how in the world can you expect them to love you? And so there has to be, when we get into this moment of understanding, what is love? What does love actually look like? Because it's not something that is in the abstract. It is actually something that has to be tangible. I could say I love you all day long and do freaking nothing for you. Then I would be worthy of the criticism of somebody saying, nah, Joker, you don't love them. Nah, Joker, you don't love her. Nah, Joker, you don't love them. I'm worthy of that criticism if I'm not able to show love. Love is an action word. We can't, listen, one of the greatest gifts that we have is the fact that God, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you imagine what it would have looked like if God never gave his son? but yet keeps talking all about love. And you notice how love after that time, right? We know that love started coming up a whole lot more. Go read your Bible. I promise you it's in there. Love was something that was being expressed more and more and more after the time of Jesus among people, because now we got an understanding of those who he left to continue spreading the gospel and working out this great commission. They were expressing love. They were showing love, and sometimes love hurts. So listen, so let me keep going. And then in John chapter 13, verse 34, says, listen, Jesus says, love ye one another. Love ye one another. And listen, as I have also loved you, love ye one another. So what Jesus is saying, listen, I need you to get out here. And remember, these are commandments. I need you to get out here, and I need you to remember first and foremost that I've loved you. And because I've loved you, you have the ability, you have the capacity to love other people. And so I'm bringing a clarion call today, and I'll continue to do it as the Lord leads, but I'm bringing this clarion call to say, listen, can there be some more of us that actually come together and come together in a way to actually show people who are living in poverty that they are loved? Not that they are loved by God. Let's stop with that foolishness. No, that we love them. I'm share something with you. I was recently in New Orleans. I'm not there now. I was recently in New Orleans. I was there yesterday, and I left out of the hotel the next day. I left out of the hotel, and when I left out of the hotel, I didn't have time to actually sit down in the hotel lobby and pay for my, that was paid for, right? That comes with the price of the hotel. I didn't have a chance or an opportunity to sit down in the hotel lobby and sit there and eat my food. I had a couple meetings that I had to get to, so I left out. But before I left, I grabbed some sausage, I put it in a bowl. True story, I grabbed some sausage, put it in a bowl. I grabbed some cheese, put it in a bowl, the same bowl, and I threw some eggs on top of it. Then I took a whole bunch of that spinach and put that on top of it. So I had my own little breakfast bowl, I guess. I sat over there, I cut it up so I can eat it while I was driving, safely, of course. And then I grabbed a bunch of grapes. I grabbed another bowl, I had a bunch of grapes. I may post a picture to show y'all. But I grabbed a bunch of grapes and had them in a bowl. And then I grabbed one of those little blueberry muffin crumble things that I like, that this particular brand of hotel has. And I had my water and I'm off. I pulled out the parking lot, and after I pulled out the parking lot, I actually made a left turn, then made a right, come up to this main street, then bust another right. I had my food in one hand, had my hand on the steering wheel, and I'm coming up to a light, and I'm almost up to a light, and probably about 40 feet before the light, I see this brother on the left side of the road. And this brother had the appearance that he did not have any place to live like I have. Now, here's the first thing. Let me tell you, you got to learn language. You don't never tell somebody who is living outside in the elements that they're homeless. No, that is their home where they live. Where they put their head is their home. And they're actually in communities, people who don't have, who are insufficiently provided with the financial resources or tangible resources. So, but I saw them, and it didn't take a lot of time. The spirit quickened my spirit, and I actually gave this brother the bowl of food that I had in my hand. And I'm telling you, I hooked it up real good, so I know it was going to taste real good, and I was hungry because I hadn't eaten since like 9 o'clock that previous night. But it didn't take anything other than following what the spirit actually said. I didn't have 15 minutes. I didn't have 2 hours to think about it. There was somebody who was in need. And I said, brother, you want something to eat? That's all I said. He gets up. I'm stubborn. I'm holding up traffic. Whatever. Sometimes we need to hold up traffic for the kingdom. So I'm holding up traffic. He came over. I said, man, God bless you. He thanked me for it. And then as I pulled, God, man, listen. as I pulled up to the light and kept going on my day, my heart just freaking broke. Because there's people that are living in poverty among us. I started recalling how I'm driving this nice rental car, this luxury rental car, while being out of town. I'm thinking about how if I wanted to go back to the hotel and get some more food, I had the ability to go back and get some more food. Thinking about how my lights don't get cut off. Thinking about how I got water and my water doesn't get cut off. I'm able to pay the bills. I'm thinking about all of these blessings that God has bestowed upon me and my family and a whole bunch of other folks. God. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. And all of this just came down on me so weighty in like the next minute after I handed that food to that brother. Now, remember what I said, poverty, for those who are just coming on. I talked about poverty, the place of being extremely poor, not having sufficient resources. Poverty is not people. People live in poverty. Now listen, I don't know if there was anything else that I needed to do at that moment. That action of showing love. And you know what I said to myself? I said, you know what? I'm going to eat these grapes. I'm not going back to the hotel. I'm going to eat these grapes. I'm going to eat this muffin. And whenever I eat is when I eat. But if I decided that I wanted to go buy something to eat, I have the financial resources to be able to do it. I'm thankful to God. However, listen to me close. It is unacceptable for me to be able to have those type of luxuries, I'm telling you, and then just act like there's people that are not living out here in poverty. It's unacceptable, people. So I go back to my question. How long will you put up with poverty in the church, in your church, in your community? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love ye one another as I've also loved you. See, there comes a time that I told you about. We can pull up statistics, but there's individuals who don't have the adequate resources now, but there's also some individuals who used to have the resources, who now have to ask other people for resources. Listen, my brothers, my sisters, I ain't trying to scare you. I'm not speaking anything ill of you. I am saying this. You better be very careful, those of you who have the resources, the tangible resources to be able to help God's people and refuse to do it. The truth of the matter is, you wouldn't have known anything about this man that I encountered on the street that day. While I'm in the car and he's just sitting off on the side of the street. You wouldn't know anything about that unless I said it. But here's what you got to know. Even if I didn't say anything to you, the Lord knew what was done. The Lord knew I did it with a pure heart. And the same thing is with us. He knows when we do things out of a pure heart. He also knows if we have done things in the past just for show. He knows it. He knows it. So, how much time I got? I got a couple minutes left. So listen, I can tell you for a fact that one of the reasons that I know God placed that question on me, and we may deal with that question again, how long will you put up with poverty in the church? And I'm really being more specific, not just in the church as in the church universal, because that's too broad. You can't heed an ocean, but I am saying, how long will you put up with it in your church? How long will you put up with it in your community? Listen, there are very few communities that don't have people living in poverty. Very few communities that don't have people living in poverty. Even people living in big houses are also living in freaking poverty. I'm telling you what I know. So I put something out on Facebook a couple of days ago. And I said this. I said, you know, what pastoral leaders, what we as pastoral leaders, as pastors and ministers, what we put out there, what we choose to promote, has a direct correlation between the poverty and the wealth of quote unquote our folks, quote unquote our people. That foolishness. No, they're not your people, they're God's people. And when you leave and when I leave, there'll be somebody else's people. But listen again, what pastoral leaders choose to promote has a direct correlation between the poverty and the wealth. Can I say it like this? Between the bondage and the freedom of the folks, of the people, of quote unquote our folks. And so let me just tell you something. I heard this said one time. I heard about this one time that a pastor said, don't bring your business in the church. Keep your business out of the church. And when I heard that, it broke my heart. And I'm going somewhere with this, so don't get all offended. Chevin Bellamy would appreciate that. Don't get offended. Get over it. That was a sermon from last Sunday. But keep your business out of the church. Not, and see, it wasn't out of the church. It was out of this church. But yet, the same mindset for many leaders, the one who said it, the ones who buy into it, as well as those who perpetuate it as well. That same mindset that is there. The truth of the matter is, but you want folk to bring the proceeds from their business inside your church. Come on now. You can't have it both ways. There's something wrong with that type of spirit. Bottom line, straight up, I'm unapologetic about it. So watch this. I've known congregations that have had individuals who have gone on to do great things, to become music artists, professional artists, who play professional sports, going to play off in college. And it's amazing how when individuals are doing those things, everybody wants to hold, not everybody, but y'all know what I'm telling the truth. So many of religious leaders, pastoral leaders, they want to hold on and say, you know what, Dr. Dunlap, he used to be a member of Holy Angels Catholic Church, and look at him now. Such and such, I'm not going to call the name, I'll just use myself, but such and such went on to become a professional football player. Yeah, I married him and his wife. I baptized him 13 or her 32 years ago. All those different things, you hold on. As religious leaders, you grab a hold to that, you gravitate to it, and you say, listen, this is what came up out of here. Yeah, this person came out of my church. He went to play for the Eagles. But yet, I know that there is some expectation that they give back. And then leaders have the audacity to try to take credit as if they were the ones that caused the success of those individuals. No, man, you wasn't the only one praying for them. No, sis, you wasn't the only one praying for them. But the point I'm making is it's okay to grab on. It's okay to attach on to them. And then, oh, my goodness, thank God, bless the Lord, he done gave $30,000 to the church because he just signed this million-dollar contract. Oh, my goodness, he's going to do a fundraiser at this church because he has this national recording, been a national recording artist. He's been doing this for all those years. And so he's going to come and do a benefit concert for us here at XYZ Church, and the money's going to go, and we're going to be able to build this. Listen, I'm about to go. But what you choose to promote as a religious leader has a direct correlation between the poverty and wealth, the freedom and the bondage, or the bondage and the freedom of the people living within the congregation. The truth of the matter is this, and I think I got to go. You have plenty of people. I started thinking about individuals who I know and individuals who have come across my path that others know, so I don't have a deep relationship. But I think about the musicians in the church, in some of the churches that I know specifically. Think about the educators. I'm not just talking about myself, but I think about the educators within several churches. I think about people who have professional careers in law enforcement as firefighters. I think about those who have been called to preach and are gifted in it. I think about those of us who are authors, not just talking about myself. I could talk about Jerome Case. I could talk about Nikki. I could talk about Warren Feaster. I think about those who are authors, I'm going to keep going for a moment. I'm thinking about those individuals in churches that I know of, that I'm aware of, that actually are tax professionals, not somebody doing little hustles, but I'm talking about actually tax professionals. I'm thinking about also some of the individuals who actually own lawn services. So those are just a few, right? But let me ask you a question. I want you to think about it right now. I want you to think about, I'm about to go. I want you to think about the individuals that I just mentioned or those professions that I just mentioned. I want you to think about the ones who actually own daycares, the members of your church, or learning centers, to put it more politically correct. I want you to think about those who are beauticians within your congregation. I want you to think about those individuals who are hairstylists, Ms. Chappelle, within your congregation. And if you are a religious leader, my next question is, no. What about those individuals who are in the banking industry, like working at a financial institution? What about those individuals who have restaurants, or like Elder Lotson, who can cook his tail off? What about those individuals in the congregation? And now I want you to ask yourself this question. First, I'm going to ask you as a leader. When was the last time you put that before the people? On a consistent basis. Not, we just happy that Dunlap wrote a book. That don't bring sales, because most of the time you've got to promote things. But now I want you to also think outside of being a religious leader. I want you to think as not just a religious leader, but I want you to think as a member. And now I want the members to think about this as well, or if you belong to a congregation, when's the last time you heard that? Think about those individuals within your congregational context. And I want you to just ask yourself the question, when last time you heard, you know what, such and such happened? Not just being happy because it's coming out. I'm talking about continually putting it before the people. See, this whole notion of marketplace ministry, that's a name now, but I can point you to biblical texts that show that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Now, the truth is, it doesn't happen in a lot of communities. One, because our communities are not, we got churches on different corners and shopping centers, churches that ain't really connected to no community, but they got a good price on the land. We got churches that spread out, they're not really connected with the actual community where they sit. Then you got some that's been there for the last 150 years. The people need to know what's going on in the church. But if it's not promoted, come on, man. Come on, sis. These things are damaging, and they have a direct, I'm telling you, we can go further in this conversation maybe next week, but it has a direct correlation between poverty and wealth, because people who are living in poverty within your four walls of your congregations, so many congregations, they're not expressing it. They're not getting the help and the assistance that they need to lift themselves up out of poverty and to allow somebody else to help lift them out of poverty. So if you don't promote and you're a religious leader, then yes, some of the blame is on you, because the truth of the matter is, how in the world, and I'm going to go because this may tick some of y'all off, how in the world are you going to stand up before the people and say, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, but you have the ability to help the tithes to increase and won't even open your mouth? Shame, shame, shame. Don't make you a bad pastor. Doesn't make you a bad religious leader. But shame on you for that, because we could be doing better. And the truth of the matter is, the more God provides for me, the more I could do for the church. Now here, I come up against any spirit that says, you know what, let me go ahead and promote that so we can get some more money. I bind that evil spirit, that evil thinking up in the name of Jesus. Now, it only just makes sense, though, that the better the people do, the better the institution of church should be able to do. And not bringing just more money in there, that means more money that's coming in there, more talents and resources that's coming in, puts us in a place where we have the ability to do more for the community, more for the church, and more for the kingdom of God. So listen, I got to go. I got to go. I pray that this has been very beneficial to you. And again, when we have our next show, this brother that you'll see it. Just pay attention to the website, prfministry.org or prfinstitute.org, or look on the Facebook page, PRF Institute. You'll see it. But the brother that's going to be with us in 2 weeks, I'm telling you, you're going to hear some things, and you're going to hear some from somebody who is working with people in poverty. Remember, I had Regina Meadows on a while back, and now this brother is just bringing this thing full circle. So listen, check us out, prfministry.org. And also, we're having a planning and savings for Next Door Neighbors workshop on August 24th in a place called Opelika, Alabama. Again, go to our website. Registration stops next week. Here's my thing. The bottom line is this. If you desire better, you have to put some effort into it. You have to invest in yourself. And the number one thing you have to invest in yourself is with time. And so if you have a situation where you want to be better at planning, you want to be better at saving, you're part of those individuals who don't even have $1,000 saved up. You know you don't even have $500 for any type of car repairs. If you should need it, I'm encouraging you to get to the workshop. Listen, it's going to be several hours, and we're going to actually do work in the workshop. And so I'm grateful for the Power Network and Scott Bryan, who has invited us. And this is one religious leader, one pastoral leader that I can truly say truly cares about his people, because he's bringing these things before the people because he, one, understands the condition of the people, not just in his church, but within his context and within his community. And he knows that there are some things that we need to be getting in place as the body so that we can love ye one another and love our neighbors as ourselves. Yet we still have to get some things in place for ourselves, and we can do it in community. So listen, God bless you. Go back and read this, or go back and listen to this. I pray that you've been blessed on today. And reach out to me. Y'all know how to reach out to me. Send me a message. You can contact me by phone or email. All the information is on the website, prfinstitute.org or prfministry.org. God bless y'all. I love you. Peace.